But, well, anyway, you're talking about the difference between the 4th of July and June 19th.
Yes, that's it. Well, the white people always celebrate the 4th of July, but the Negroes, where I came from, always celebrated the 19th of June. And we called it, instead of, I don't know, word of mouth, we didn't call it the 19th of June. We called it the Juneteenth. That was it. And that was the only day that you had a holiday. That was really your holiday. Now, all the other holidays, in the bounds of reason, they weren't celebrated, such as Labor Day. Mm-hmm. Labor Day wasn't celebrated too much, and a little bit of Thanksgiving, and we always had Christmas. And Juneteenth, as they called it. See, that was just during the time that the corn was needed plowing and chopping, and the cotton was, some of the cotton was almost ready to, you was through working in it, but you still working a little bit in it. And then you just gotten to the place where you had a little money because you'd been chopping cotton, so you was able to celebrate. That was one more day that we always got a dress for the 19th of June because we always had a picnic. Now, if we, a lot of times, the white people would give you a calf or a hog or to kill, and that's what you had for your picnic. Now, if they didn't give it to you, you had one of your own, or you bought it, or you went together and bought one from somebody. But we always celebrated. We always went somewhere. It was a picnic grove. And we'd all get together. The men would barbecue, and we'd go down in the creeks, and we'd do the thing that's illegal to do, which was we would sing for the fish. Didn't bother about getting a hook. Who wanted a hook? And we'd also learn to dynamite them out of the water. You'd light the thing and stick that dynamite in there. Have you ever heard of that one?
Dynamite fish?
Yeah.
And they would come up from Kansas and talk about doing that.
They didn't. Well, it was just like I'm saying. It was illegal. Uh-huh. But on your own property, on somebody else's property, who's going to come down there and challenge you?
So they would just stick a piece of dynamite down in the stream and it would blow all the fish out.
Just about that. It would move some, it'd do something to them, and they'd come up to the top, and all you had to do was just scoop them out with a net. And they've always thought that that wasn't fair for the fish.
Mm-hmm.
So and then another thing we'd do, we'd get in these little, whenever the creek come up in the spring of the year, it would always leave a little hole, a little mud hole somewhere, a little farm, a little tiny lake, not much, but a mud hole, I'd rather say. And we'd go out there and sing and get the fish and bring them back and clean them and fry them. And, oh, we had a dance. Oh, somebody could play an old guitar. You know, Negroes are musical. And they can make music out of most anything. If they don't have it one way, they get it another way. You can just take a bunch of tin tubs and old washboards and pots of anything and turn them upside down and beat on them and bang on them and make music. And so they would dance. And, oh, we would always have a dance. And it was always a big celebration, but somebody came along the line, and I'm back to what Beverly always hates for me to say. Some white people said, don't y'all be celebrating when y'all was free, and blah, blah, blah. They didn't want us to tell our children that we was enslaved once in chain and how we was treated and so forth and so on by the white man. They didn't want the Negro to tell his children that because they wanted them to forget it. Okay, it's over with now, just wipe it out. But I didn't think that was fair. I thought we should always celebrate it. I think we should. It should be a big deal. So now it is in Texas. They have it in Texas only, if I'm not mistaken. That is a legal holiday for the Negroes. Mm-hmm. So they don't work on the 19th of June. Mm-hmm. And I think that's nice. So I didn't work the 19th of June for the last 3 years. I just took off on my own. I didn't get no pay, but I took off. So I said, I'm out here, but I'm going to celebrate anyway.
Yeah. When back in Texas, when people started saying don't celebrate it, was that when you were young that they were saying?
Yeah, that's when I was young. That's when I was young. They always wanted to say, which I can see in one sense, and another sense I can't, because that is history, and it should be known. Mm-hmm. That they were. They tried to get away from it then, and they didn't want us to celebrate it because you say, well, why? Then you have to go explain what you're celebrating, and they didn't want you to know that it was such a thing as that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was why I think they tried to wipe it out. But now the young folks, since they came along with this saying black is beautiful, they decided they better go back and talk about the slaves.
Mm-hmm. When did anybody stop celebrating because...
Well, they slowed down. Yes, they were just slowed down. They wasn't exactly told you know, it wasn't just a law or something. They just kind of, well, what do y'all want to, I don't see why y'all want to celebrate that. But then they turned around and told us to celebrate the 4th of July, but nobody enjoyed it. Black people didn't enjoy celebrating the 4th of July. It didn't mean anything to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see why it didn't, can't you?
Yeah.
In a way of speaking, even though this is your country if you're here, but it just didn't mean anything to you. So you just went back. So now they're going back to the 19th of June. And I always did like it. They always had plenty of good, cool watermelons to eat. And they made potato salad, and they made sweet potato pies. And string beans was one of the things they'd have, and the peas. They'd cook them in the big pots, and everybody would pass by and eat. It was a wonderful picnic, believe it or not. It was really a nice picnic in those days. So they just got away from it. I'm so sorry they did.
But they're back to it.
But they're going back to it now.
Uh-huh. When I was wanting to also mention, I was thinking of the things that you were telling me last time we talked, but it seems that when you were growing up that that you had a real sense of your history or your of things that had gone on around you. Did that come from being at that school?
I think so. I think some of it was. Then some of it was, it's just like you said, it comes from way back. That's why it's hard to say that you can take a poor, undeveloped child from somewhere and put him into a fine place and try to make something out of him. If it's not in his blood, you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
See, so I think I got some of my, on my mother's side, I don't know very many of her people because they soon turned white on her side. See, after my mother, I got to go get you the pictures after a while.
Mm-hmm.
After I left my mother, then my grandfather was half white. So that tells you right there that his father was white,
mm-hmm.
and his mother was colored. So all the people on his father's side, they just was white, so they just didn't know anything about them. The ones on his mother's side was Negroes, so it didn't take long for them to run out, so I don't know much about her. So they just sort of disappeared, and that's why I don't know very much about them. But I did meet a man here in California, and he had the same name that my mother had. And he had, and he said he came not too far from where my mother lived. And he, just looking at him, he did have some traces of the looks that my mama had on her face. And I was talking to him about it, and I was saying something. He said, well, why don't you look it up and find out? But at that time, I wasn't interested. I wish I had looked it up.
Mm-hmm. So when you're saying this about these families, you're saying that her grandfather's father was white?
Yes, that's right.
So her great-grandfather then,
yes,
was white. Now, was that in...
No, her grandfather was white.
Oh, her grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a lot closer.
Yeah, like closer. See, her father was half white,
mm-hmm.
and that made her father, see, her grandfather was white.
Mm-hmm.
But on her mother, his mother was half white.
Mm-hmm.
So then that made her father white, and her mother was a pure Negro.
Mm-hmm.
So then she's a pure Negro, but then that was slavery time, so she just disappeared. I mean, you just put her over there, that the Negroes, they had no record of them, so they didn't keep. You couldn't go back any farther. You'd just go to her and you'd drop off.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost the same with my mother. When she got to her father, then see, all his sisters and brothers was half white. And then a lot of them, by them being half white, they turned in and married half white people. And then their children just turned white,
mm-hmm.
and just disappeared. See, the reason Mama didn't turn white and disappear, because her mother was a Negro.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't a dark Negro, but she wasn't half white either. So she was in between there. Like, she was probably the color of my girl.
Mm-hmm. So these women who, either during slave times or whatever, had
right after slavery.
So when your mother's grandfather
Yes.
Was that during...
no, that was during slavery time, yes. Uh-huh.
So would, did their son or her father stay with...
Yes, they stayed with him. If they didn't stay with him, they stayed mighty close to him.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, they believe you me, they didn't do like people tell you they did. If they didn't stay with them, they stayed right around the corner, and they didn't have no other woman.
Mm-hmm.
They had just that one colored woman, and that's all. And they did take care of their children. Most of them went to school and got some type of education, regardless to how dumb they were. They did go to school. They seemed that they fared better.
Mm-hmm.
They all ended up with some land, some horses, or something like that, and it was independent of the ordinary run of the game. They didn't have to stay on these places where they was working on havers, is that what they call it, or three quarters, or what have you, and never get out of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Those people didn't, a lot of them didn't do that.
So you're saying they didn't become tenant farmers?
Yeah, that's right, they didn't become tenant farmers. Nevertheless, now on my father's side, those people over there was dark,
mm-hmm.
like me, and color. But in the meantime, it just so happened that my father, his father owned this land, so he wasn't a tenant farmer either.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he was such a roust about, and just didn't worry about, you know, he'd come home and just sit there with the rest of the family. Somebody's going to have something to eat, so he'd just come on in and eat, coming into Mama's house, regardless to who was there. If Mama was there and some of the sisters was living around there, so he just went from house to house and ate, so it was no problem.
Mm-hmm. So this other part of the family, though, do you think that they were trying to find other people who were light-skinned to marry, or?
Yes, they did, even though Beverly don't like me to say that either.
Mm-hmm.
But they did. They would seem to me as though they was in doctrine to do that, and how, I don't know when they told him or talked to him about it or what the story was, but I kind of think they did. I think they seemed to have found out if we two light skins get together, we'll have better, we can manage better. And they did. The people looked up to them better, just like I tell you, my mother was real light skinned, and I know my mother got a lot of favors just by being that. And she got a lot of consideration, and she got a lot of consideration from the black people as well. They seemed to have thought she was somebody. They would do more for her than they did for the same type of woman that skin was dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to this day, Negroes just discriminate against each other until it's just pitiful. Just like my girl, when she went to school, and when she'd be going backwards and forward to school, if she tried to get around with some kids that was darker as I am, and I'm her mother, she said that light-skinned kids just wouldn't let her play with those dark-skinned kids. They just got her away from them, and she just had to stay away from them, and that was that. They told her stories, told her, just like you was told, don't you deal with that Negro because he's not, he blah, blah, blah. You let him alone. He's got a tail, and he's got a this and that and the other. And so they just, somehow or another, they leaned away from it. But I was different. I'm back to myself again. I was different. I was so used to my mama, because when I was born, that's the first woman's face I looked into, and her face was white. So I didn't, my eyes was focused on a light-skinned woman. I didn't see a dark woman,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I looked up at her. I loved her. She told me back she loved me. So I was accustomed to that. So when that time come for me to get married and find a husband, it seemed to me as though I was just geared to a light-skinned man.
Mm-hmm.
So, which was unusual. That was unusual. I stepped across the line, as they would say it. I didn't follow the grain. I was supposed to get a brown-skinned man, but that wasn't my calling.
Mm-hmm. What was your husband's name?
His name was Joseph Hill.
Joseph Hill. And he was light-skinned?
Yes, he was light-skinned.
Uh-huh. Did his family ever seem to feel that he...
Well, I don't think they cared for me too much. But they didn't have a choice, because they didn't have very much to offer. At that time, they had gotten poor, and he stayed with his grandmother, which meant that was a generation back from him instead of staying with his mother and daddy. So he had practically raised himself, and you know how children staying with their father, with their grandmother, they have, grandmothers just let them more or less have their way, so they just kind of turned them loose and they had no choice. He was living in an old raggedy house, but it was theirs. They owned it. And he said that he didn't have anything. He tried to go to school. He went to college for 2 years, but he just didn't. He said his name was always at the top of the list, that he owed money to the school for first one something and then the other. So he gave that up. Living there in Tyler, there was a very little few jobs that he could do that was worthwhile, and he wasn't a pusher. You know, some people are a pusher. I am a pusher. I'm an adventurous person. I would take a chance. I would gamble on a little bit of nothing. I would put the whole pile in and gamble on it in hopes that I'll win. And usually I come up winning. So he just decided that couldn't marry anybody that amounted to anything. And he says one of the reasons he married me was because he knew I was from the country. I could take care of myself. And he felt like he didn't have to offer me so much, which he didn't have to offer. And he didn't want to be bossed around by anybody's or his wife's family. And since I didn't have a father, he didn't have him to contend with. So that's how he stepped down, as I would like to say, to get married. Mm-hmm. But we did stay together for 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was after you married him, and he had gone back in the service, that you came back out here to California. And that was in 43?
Yeah, 43 years.
Mm-hmm. And was North America the first place you went to work when you came back?
Yes.
Uh-huh. How did you know about the jobs?
Well, I had a sister working at Douglas. Mm-hmm. And she told me, and I told her, I says, well, since I didn't have a trade, I didn't have that much education to do any better, and to go to school was a problem too, I suppose. So I told her, I said, well, I better get me a good job around here working somewhere, like in a hotel, a motel or something. And she told me, that was the sister that just left. And she told me I want to get me a good job so when the war is over, I'll have it. And she said, no, I tell you what you do. You just come on out and go in the war plants and work, and maybe you'll make enough money where you won't have to work in the hotel or the motel or whatever you think you want to do. So I was very good on taking advice from another person until if you told me something, I looked at it just like it was, and I would go right along with that program, and I didn't try to see the pros and the cons. I just went straight down the line. So I said, okay, then I'll go out and go to work. Mm-hmm. But I never dreamed I'd stay there that long.
So,
but I've had my ups and downs with that. Don't get me wrong. I have fought my battles to stay there, and it hasn't always been easy.
Mm-hmm. When, she was living here and was working
at Douglas.
At Douglas. Where was she living in Los Angeles?
Oh, we was living over in the east side on Hooper Avenue. That's all I can remember. Mm-hmm. Don't remember the address as of now.
Yeah. She had been living here, and then you moved away?
Yeah, I moved away to Texas and stayed. I stayed from May, the 1st of May, until the next year in April, which wasn't quite a year.
Uh-huh. And so was she living alone in the same place?
She was. No, she moved. Well, we only had a room. We didn't have an apartment. We only had a room. Negroes rented rooms quite a bit. That was the thing. When I came to California, that was the going thing, that they rent rooms. And it was a wonderful thing too, because it made it possible for you to come and stay without a problem. You take a house like this, it's you could do a lot of you could rent a lot of rooms here, and you'd be surprised, you know, how much money was turned over during that time. You take a house like this, a man and a woman, they'd rent it to a couple, they'd rent a room to a couple for $10 a week. That doesn't sound like very much money to you. But during 43 up until 49, I'll say, or top of the 50s, $10 a week for a room was real good money, because nobody knew about it. Mm-hmm. But you. And you was able to go a long ways. Why, the gas bill wasn't even $10, let's face it. Mm-hmm. The water bill wasn't $10 a month.
Yeah.
So if you had two couples living with you and they was paying you combined together $10 a week, I mean, $20 a week, you had yourself a good thing going. So that's what we was doing. We was rooming with this lady, and I don't think we was, I think we was paying that lady $6 a week, the two of us, which was good money for her, even at that, because she was renting a house for only $26 a month. That's what she was paying for the house, $26 a month, and we was paying her $6 a week for the room. She had another girl living on the back porch, and she was charging her $3. Mm-hmm. So see, that was $9 a week right there, which was more than she needed to pay her house rent with, see? Mm-hmm.
So there were, people were renting out rooms then within the homes they maybe rented or that they were buying?
Yeah, they was renting. Mostly they was renting. Mm-hmm. When I came here in 1940, it was more rent houses then than you could shake a stick at, because people couldn't afford to buy them. They had no money, mm-hmm. and they had no sure income, I guess is what you would call it. But they managed to pay for them somehow.
Did so in a house, say that had say it was a two bedroom house. With you mentioned someone renting out a back porch. So people were staying in rooms other than
bedrooms.
Regular bedrooms.
Yeah, that's you got the idea. Uh-huh. I know it was a man stayed in the basement. And he, the woman was telling a tale about that. He stayed with her auntie, and the man done stayed under the basement there, and he done chopped out enough dirt and made him an extra room down there. So he's doing all right for himself. Uh-huh. So it just, see, we're accustomed to shacking up with each other. You know, we've been doing that for years and years. We've always made it possible. For you to, we had to live like that because that was the only way to survive. We had to shack up together with each other, you know. We had to have sisters and brothers. And every time one person come to California, he would send back and get somebody else. He'd get back, send back, and get his sister or brother. And then that sister and brother would come, and then they'd send back and get the next one. And so on and so on. And so that's how the thing really worked. They didn't do it like they should have when I came out here. I came alone. And I didn't know anyone, and when I told you when I got off the bus, I had less than $10, but my family should have been close to behind me. The two of us should have been able to come together, mm-hmm. but we just didn't. But I've always been adventurous. I've always wanted to better my condition, even to right now. I would like to do better, but at this age of the game, with not too much, just only one girl to follow in my footsteps, it's not too much necessary.
Uh-huh. You, when these people were living together, was it crowded in that part of the
city? Not necessarily so. Not like it is today. I don't think it is as bad then as it is today. But slightly, yes. But Negroes, as a rule, are accustomed to that. They are accustomed to a lot of people around them. They have lived like that. You see, just face it, from slavery time on, the house that I was born in, I'm almost ready to say, it was not as large as this room. Probably made different, yes, but it wasn't as large as this room. So this room's not very large. Mm-hmm. It will accommodate two double beds, this right here will, and mm-hmm. whatever else you had to put in there. But you had very little to put in there, so you didn't need all that room. You took that corner over there, and you put a stick from one end to the other, which probably wasn't even, the stick wasn't 3 feet long. You tacked it over that corner, and you tacked it over that corner, then you put a curtain in front of it, and that's where you hung your clothes. Uh-huh. Because that's all the clothes you had. Then you had some kind of an old dresser that you put, a dresser with a mirror on it, or a chest of drawers, and that was all. If you had five drawers in that chest of drawers, each kid had a drawer, that's all he had. He didn't have all those clothes. You washed every Saturday. So you just wore, and very seldom you had a turnover. You wore that gown until it wore out, and then you got another one. Uh-huh. Well, that's the way we did. I just don't remember having all those extra clothes, but they were always clean.
Mm-hmm. So you would,
So we don't seem to have been crowded. No, we don't seem to have been too crowded. We figured out how to get along with each other in the kitchen. Everybody in the kitchen had a little place where he kept his food. when you roomed with this lady and you had a spot in the icebox, one chef was yours or something, or you bought one type of milk and the other one bought another type of milk so it didn't get tangled up. If you bought oil to cook with and next one used lard to cook with or spry or whatever you call that kind of stuff, and the next one you use one type of butter and the next one use another type so it didn't get mixed and tangled up, so, and you didn't buy too much to have on hand, you didn't have a whole lot of canned goods stacked up in there, you just went to the store and bought almost when you got ready to cook, but you didn't do no whole lot of buying. Naturally you had your coffee if you drank coffee, which I didn't, and had a couple of tea bags if that was necessary and a few small items that you used, but you didn't overstock yourself like I do today.
Did rationing affect you?
No, not at all, because I was able to get practically everything I wanted. I didn't, it didn't bother me one bit. It just taught me a few things that I still do today. It just taught me there's a lot of things you can get along without.
Mm-hmm. Did you have to do things like substitute for recipes and things, or put things in?
Well, we did, because I remember substituting. I like cornbread a lot, so we had to use cream of wheat grits to make cornbread out of. And I found out I liked that just too well.
Mm-hmm. So,
and we had to use Nuco instead of butter a lot, margarine, whichever one you want to call it, margarine instead of butter. And butter, you know, they come to the conclusion that butter's not the best thing. But then in the meantime, I had an aunt, my mother's sister, that lived up in Etowanda, California, and she had a cow. So if I really wanted butter, I got it from her. So I did not know, I didn't, as strange as it may seem, I didn't suffer from the water thing. You know, you had to buy shoes with the stamps, and the average Negro don't buy as many shoes as they tell you, you know. So you buying the shoes with the stamps, you had, if you bought the shoes, every time you got a stamp to buy shoes, your closet had been too full. Same way it was with sugar, they had sugar ration. And that was unnecessary too, as far as I was concerned, because if you tried to buy the sugar every time you got the stamp, then you'd have too much.
Mm-hmm.
Or she didn't use it.
Mm-hmm. So, at the time that you came out here again, this place on Hooper Street was with this other woman who had another person living on the
back porch. That's right.
And
my sister
shared
a room. Yeah, that's right.
With each other. And which Douglas plant was she working at?
She was working at one out in El Segundo.
Uh huh. So how did she get from El Segundo
to home? Oh, we had a ride. You always could ride with someone. Some people had cars, so they would ride you backwards and forwards. They'd come by your house every morning or every evening to pick you up.
Uh-huh.
And it was a dollar and a half a week. I think it was a dollar. You could buy a pass also for a dollar and a half a week. A dollar and a quarter, I think. I don't remember. But it was about a nickel a dime difference in what the person charged you for riding in the car than it was for riding on the streetcar. And it was better to ride in someone's car. And in those days, it was much better than it is today. You know, if you ride in a person's car today and you just bump a fingernail off, they're ready to sue you.
Mm-hmm.
But I never heard of a suit during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have that many accidents. I don't know of accidents either that people got hurt.
Mm-hmm. How long had your sister been working at Douglas?
Oh, when I came out here, I was in April. I think she started sometime before Christmas. That's all I can remember.
Uh-huh. So she had already been at it a few months?
Yeah, she'd been at it a few months.
Uh-huh. Okay, let me flip it
then. Well, before you flip it then, if you want to, when you cut it off, and then I want